not been around since the time of Jesus. It was actually written by one man. The name of the man who wrote that phrase and immortalized it now in history is a man that by the name of William Cowper. He wrote a poem called God Moves in Mysterious Ways. Now, he wrote it in the 1800s, and a bit of his story is necessary to understand kind of the background. You see, all through his life, he had spent periods of time in the same asylum. He battled with suicidal temptation and dealt with what we would now call as severe depression. But in that time, in that day, it was called melancholy or darkness, the dark night of the soul. And he would go through bouts, sometimes days, months, where he was physically ill and spiritually dark and emotionally dark, psychologically dark, and he would have feelings of suicide, and they would put him in a little asylum for his own protection. Around the age of 30, after going through a series of admittances and releases, his caregiver, who was not his parents, but a nice lady, only when we take courage in Him and sense His great mercy in that these are not clouds of dread, but they're clouds of direction. That's what the children of Israel found out in Exodus chapter 13. They see a cloud before them, and they know that this cloud is God Himself in a cloud. That cloud glorious and enjoyable path, but it's not the best path. Because it's the way of the Philistines, and you know the Philistines are the, remember David and Goliath, the big Philistine champion. It's a people that will not allow you to pass without difficulty. The second option they can choose is called the middle cut through. The middle cut through. There are some paths that would cut through the middle, through the terrain of the wilderness, through the terrain of the mountains, but they're the middle keep us from becoming conceited. It's to keep us from becoming self-sufficient. It's to keep us from becoming self-persevering. Friends, if you do everything in this world on your own strength and in your own power, then you have never in a minute rest upon God's strength and God's power. If everything is so easy and everything is such a shortcut and everything is so, it doesn't have thorns and it doesn't have hardships and it doesn't have calamities, you might be missing out on God's plan. You see, He takes the people by the suffering. He takes them by the way of not least resistance, the way that's going to require the most resistance. The third reason why you do this is that the Lord illuminates your path day and night. It's up to you. You see, verse 22, in my opinion, are the most important of the passage. It's the most important when we understand that the faithful God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, did not leave them stranded, did not leave them abandoned, did not leave them to their own decision. No, He actually goes and forms a cloud before them by day and a pillar of fire by night. And He's there protecting them and guiding them and directing them. Verse 22 says that this pillar of cloud and this pillar of fire would not depart from His people. Friends, when you take the long way, when you take God's way, you're not alone. You're not abandoned. He does not depart from you. He stays with you. He assures you. He guides you. He illuminates your path. You see, God always illuminates His will for you by His word, His people, and your circumstances. God will use His word. He says in Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is a lamp, and it will show you the steps you ought to take. His word is going to determine your direction. It's going to determine His will for your life. It's also His people. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:5-6, "A wise man is full of strength, and a man of knowledge is full of wisdom. For by wise guidance you can wage war, and by the abundance of counsel you can win." See, God will show you His path. He'll lead His path to you by His word and by His people. The third, He'll use your circumstances. I love what David writes in Psalm 31. Just listen to what he's saying about God, our Father, the Maker, the one who guides the people of Israel. He says in Psalm 31, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me. You are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." You're not alone, but He will illuminate through His word and through His people and your circumstances, so that when you go on the hard road, on the hard way, and in the path of most resistance, you will take refuge in Him. You will take confidence in Him. You will take strength in Him. You will find your safety in Him. You will find your hope in Him. And if you're not leaning on God like that, you're not leaning on God at all. That's the kind of place the child of God is in. God, if you're not in, I'm in. If I'm not walking with you, if you're not illuminating my path, if I'm taking a shortcut and least resistance, then I am on my own. I am the boss. I am the master. I am the king of me. And that means you.
you ever was scared?
Oh, well, I've had an engine flame out a few times in an aircraft, and it's kind of curious as to whether it was going to light up again, things of that nature. But they seem to work out.
Is there a specific instance in an airplane emergency when you can recall fear?
Well, I tell you, I remember this one time. I'm in a Banshee at night in combat condition, so there's no running lights on the carrier. It was a Shangri-La. We were in the Sea of Japan, and my radar had jammed, and my homing signal was gone because somebody in Japan was actually using the same frequency, and so it was leading me away from where I was supposed to be. And I'm looking down at that big black ocean, so I flip on my map light, and then suddenly, zap, everything shorts out right there in my cockpit. All my instruments are gone, my lights are gone, and I can't even tell now what my altitude is. I know I'm running out of fuel, so I'm thinking about ditching in the ocean. And I look down there, and then in the darkness, there's this green trail. It's like a long carpet that's just laid out right beneath me, and it was the algae, right? It was that phosphorescent stuff that gets churned up in the wake of a big ship, and it was just leading me home. If my cockpit lights hadn't shorted out, there's no way I'd have ever been able to see that. So, you never